I'm Andy Bienstock, host for Jazz and Big Band Music here on WYPR. Federal funding for public radio is under serious threat. An end to that funding would make live streams like this one difficult to keep going. Stand up for public media and help fortify WYPR's future. Tell your member of Congress you support WYPR by visiting protectmypublicmedia.org. Thanks.
Good afternoon and welcome. Thanks for being with us. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. I appreciate your hanging with us. As I said at the top of the show, more than 8 in 10 adults in America, when polled, say that the cost of prescription drugs is too high. Widespread agreement on the lack of affordability of medicine led Maryland and several other states to try something new, an independent board with the authority to study and recommend solutions for specific prescription drugs determined to be causing a burden to Marylanders. The Maryland Prescription Drug Affordability Board was the nation's first such body. The idea was for it to serve as a watchdog for Maryland patients, countering the skyrocketing costs that have cushioned the bottom line of health insurance and drug companies. Just this month, Governor Wes Moore signed legislation that will give Maryland's Drug Affordability Board more teeth in its effort to wrangle costs. Vincent DeMarco is a longtime advocate for affordable health care. He's the president of Maryland Healthcare for All, which represents a coalition of faith, business, labor, professional, and community groups across the state. And he joins us today on Zoom. Vinny, welcome back. Good to talk to you.
Thank you for having me, Tom. Always a pleasure to be with you. Love your show.
So tell us a little bit about what the PDAB, the Prescription Drug Affordability Board, is prior to this legislation the governor just signed.
Well, Maryland General Assembly enacted this board, created it in 2019, for the simple reason that drugs don't work if people can't afford them. And there were many Marylanders, as you say, who couldn't afford their drugs. And also, there are all of us who pay higher insurance premiums because insurers pay so much for prescription drugs. And state and local governments pay a lot for drugs. So in 2019, the Maryland General Assembly created the first in a nation prescription drug affordability board. We wanted the board to have the authority to put upper payment limits on what all of us pay for high cost drugs, but the legislature wasn't ready to do that. So they enacted measure that gives them the authority to make high-cost drugs more affordable for state and local governments. And that's what they're about to implement this year. And as you said, Governor Wes Moore, thank you very much, signed into law legislation this year that extends their authority to make high-cost drugs more affordable for everybody starting next year. But the exciting news is that soon the board will take action to make several high-cost drugs more affordable for state and local governments, which is very important because we pay through the nose for these high-cost drugs. County Executive Stuart Pittman of Anne Arundel County says that in his county, they pay more for prescription drug costs for their employees than for libraries. We are all being gouged, and now the board will be able to do something about it.
So that goes into effect this year, but the is there anything left to do? In other words, the first tranche of legislation didn't quite give the board enough power in your view. Now it has the power to set these what's called UPLs, upper payment limits. Are there more things that need to be tweaked about the current laws in Maryland to make them completely fitting in your estimation?
Well, there might be small changes here and there, but the main body of the law is where we want it. Thank you, Delegate Bonnie Cullison, and Delegate Jen White-Holland, Senator Dawn Guile, Senator Brian Feldman for proposing the bill this year, which Governor Wes Moore signed, because now the board has the authority, like Colorado, Minnesota, and Washington, to make high-cost drugs more affordable for everyone. But we expect in the next few months for the board to actually use this authority, and it'll be the first a board of its kind in the country to do so for a couple of drugs that are really busting budgets at the state and local government and put upper payment limits on what those entities will pay, saving taxpayers millions of dollars. And according to the law that just passed, 1 year after they use these upper payment limits to make high-cost drugs more affordable for state and local governments. One year after that, they could do that for all of us. So it's a process that is working and will soon be helping Marylanders.
And the pharmaceutical industry, as I understand it, has some complaints about this legislation. One of them is they say that determining something to be affordable is very difficult. What does affordable mean? Does it affordable mean for the individual consumer like you and me when we go to the drugstore, or the overall health system? What's it mean?
Well, I tell you, Tom, it's not difficult for some of the people who testified before the General Assembly. Larry Zarzecki testified that he spent $3,000 a month on critically needed Parkinson's medication, lost his house, his family was devastated by it. Erica Miller testified that she needed some drugs for mental health that she could no longer afford after she got a divorce, and she lost her job because she couldn't afford her drugs. Those people knew it was unaffordable. This board has been looking carefully at what kind of drugs are unaffordable for state and local governments. Because as I said, like I told you about County Executive Pittman paying so much for these high cost drugs, it's a burden on taxpayers and a burden on state and local governments. So the fact is that a board like ours can look at these drugs and make determinations on what are causing affordability problems for people like Erica and Larry, what are causing affordability problems for state and local governments, and what are causing affordability problems for all of us. According to CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield, almost 30% of our insurance premium is because of drug costs. And although somebody may pay $10 at a counter for a drug, his or her insurance company could be paying up to $22,000 for a particular drug, which in other countries is a lot less. We are being gouged. That's why the Prescription Drug Affordability Board is in place, to make sure that Marylanders can get affordable drugs. Now, I want to emphasize, this was not easy. As you said, Big Pharma opposed it. They say they need these high prices to fund their research for these drugs. They spend billions more on advertising and profits. These drugs can be more affordable, and we can get the research we need on these drugs.
Vincent DeMarco is the president of Maryland Healthcare for All. We're talking about the Prescription Drug Affordability Boards and its new power, its expanded authority under legislation passed by the General Assembly in this past session and signed recently by Governor Wes Moore. So, Vinny, the PDAB, as I understand it, is considering an upper price limit for six drugs. And these are drugs, when you talk about advertising, these are drugs that I think a lot of folks have seen advertised on television and in print publications. Trulicity, Ozempic, Jardiance, Farxiga, Skyrizi, and Dupixent. See, these are familiar names and very expensive drugs. Why only six? Why have they limited their initial tranche of drugs that they're going to establish upper payment limits for to just these six?
Well, these upper payment limits are new, and I commend the board for doing this job carefully. Soon they will look at other drugs, but they wanted to make sure they went through this process well, got a lot of input, including from the drug corporations. And I believe they're going to focus real attention on two of those six drugs, Farxiga and Jardiance. Those are drugs that the federal government, under President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, has set a negotiated price that they're going to pay Big Pharma for the first time ever, saving Medicare lots of money. And that could be a guidance for our board in what the upper payment limit should be. And I want to emphasize, this is an upper payment limit, not an upper price limit. That's important, because we can't tell the corporations what to charge in their price. A state can't do that. But a state can say what we're going to pay. It's an upper payment limit for Marylanders. This could not have happened without the support of the Legislative Black Caucus. Thank you, Delegate Janelle Wilkins, AARP, NAACP, AFSCME, 1199, hundreds of organizations, as you said, had to come together to overcome the power of Big Pharma. But this board is smart to act carefully and start with a few drugs. And once they've got the process down right, they will expand it to include other drugs. And next year, be able to help everybody.
So will this be a negotiation then? In other words, will the producer of Jardiance and Farxiga, that's AstraZeneca for Farxiga, and a company called Boehringer Ingelheim, which makes Jardiance. Will they sit down with the state of Maryland and say, here's what we think, here's what we want to charge you, and the state of Maryland will say, nope, we're not paying that, we're only going to pay X. Will the drug company, what's their leverage at that point? Will they say, well, sorry, we're not doing it, so we're not going to sell you the drug? I mean, what happens?
Well, first of all, this is not a negotiation. The Inflation Reduction Act set up negotiation, and out of that came some prices for these drugs. What we have is an upper payment limit. The Maryland board will say, for this drug, we believe this amount is affordable. They could be guided by what the federal government negotiated. But pharma folks do make the veiled threat that, oh, if you do that, we won't sell it in your state. We don't believe it for a second. There are 6 million Marylanders who buy drugs. They're not going to give up that market. They'll still be making a lot of money. And further, if they have the nerve to do so, and if, as you said, they advertise all these drugs, Maryland consumer protection law says if you advertise something and don't sell it, that violates the consumer protection law. So they will be violating the law. So the fact is, they are going to make these drugs available at an affordable level, and people will be able to afford their drugs, and state and local governments will be able to save millions of dollars.
One of the other criticisms came from associations of doctors and providers of healthcare who administer some of these drugs themselves in their offices as part of a patient's care. And there are complications with doing that under this new law, evidently, that will make the expenses for these providers too cumbersome to cover. So that it's one thing if you go to the drugstore and you get this drug and you take it yourself, but if it needs to be administered by your doctor or your physician's assistant, it might make it complicated because of the new regulations. How do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, a lot of health providers support this law strongly, and family physicians, nurses association, and many others who know that drugs don't work if people can't afford them. And we have a board to consider factors like that, so that we have a stakeholder council that includes physicians who could have input. If a particular drug would have such an issue come up, if there was an upper payment limit, that will be discussed. No one has said that for Jardiance and Farxiga, the ones that they're likely to put forward. But we have a process so that input can be brought in. In fact, one of the groups that made this a concern, Oncologists Association, is now officially on the stakeholder council thanks to this new law. So the legislature listened to them and made sure that their input will be taken into account when drugs are chosen for upper payment limits.
What about what is the impact or the how does it fit into this scenario, the fact that President Trump issued just a week or two ago an executive order about prescription drugs? He calls it the Reducing Prices for Americans and Taxpayers executive order. And he has the U.S. Trade Representative and the Secretary of Commerce looking to make sure that foreign countries are not purposely overcharging, and that the United States gets what they call most favored nation pricing for some of the drugs that come from offshore. How does that all play into this scenario here?
Well, we are glad that President Trump is talking about the need to make high-cost drugs more affordable. Unfortunately, there was nothing in his so-called executive orders with any teeth at all. It was all hortatory, calling on the drug corporations to lower their prices, calling on other countries to do this and this. It did not have any teeth. In effect, it was hot air. The Inflation Reduction Act has teeth. Enacted by President Biden, which says Medicare shall negotiate with the drug corporations and reduce the price of drugs, which is saving Medicare hundreds of billions of dollars and saving people on Medicare, putting limits on how much they pay for their drugs. And prescription drug affordability boards, particularly the one in Maryland, has teeth. They will now be actually putting upper payment limits on what state and local governments spend on high-cost drugs, which will save millions of dollars, and next year be able to help all Marylanders afford their high-cost drugs. Yes, President Trump, you're right. High prices are a problem for high-cost drugs. We need to do something about it, but we need to take action, not just make statements. And that's what the Prescription Drug Affordability Board is.
And with this board, will they use the metric of what is simply affordable or not, or will they take into consideration what the drug companies have paid to develop the drugs and what they pay to produce them, et cetera? I mean, what does affordability mean in terms of their mandate? What kind of metrics are they going to be using to determine, you know, what the price is? Are they looking for a fair price, quote unquote, or are they looking for an affordable price? Because what's affordable to one person might be just too darn cheap for another person.
Well, again, they're not going to set prices. You're going to set upper payment limits. And I keep emphasizing that because a state cannot limit the price. But when they figure out what the upper payment limit should be, well, first of all, they determine whether a drug has affordability problems for the state, either for individuals or for the system as a whole. And we are helping with that because we've held forums all across the state, we being Healthcare for All, where people told about how high-cost drugs are hurting them. People like Erica Miller and her mental health drugs, and Larry Zarzecki and his Parkinson's medicines. People, the board finds out how high-cost drugs are hurting people, and insurers provide information on how high cost of drugs is zooming up premiums. And local leaders talk about how high-cost drugs are hurting their budgets. The board takes all this into account. And there are members of the pharma organizations on the stakeholder council who are free to provide information on how much the drug costs to make, et cetera. And the board also looks at how much the drug corporations spend on advertising. You see all those ads all the time. They cost a lot of money. In 2022, top 10 drug corporations spent $20 billion more on advertising and profits and other salaries and things like that than on research. That's where they spend their money, and that's all what the board is going to take into account in determining whether a drug is affordable. And once they've determined unaffordable, once they've determined that a drug has affordability challenges, then they determine what the upper payment limit should be. They're allowed to look at something called domestic reference pricing. They're allowed to look at what the Inflation Reduction Act determined is the fair price for Medicare. The Medicare negotiated with the drug corporations and used that as a model. So these are all tools that they will use. And over the next few months and the next couple of years, we're going to see this board make a lot of difference. And we hope other states will follow the lead of Governor Wes Moore and the Maryland General Assembly and enact these kind of bills with full authority.
And there are a few other states that are in the queue to do something similar, but Maryland is the first to have this affordability board start to move on the upper payment limits. Vincent DeMarco is the president of Maryland Healthcare for All. Thank you, Vinny. I always appreciate your time and expertise.
Thanks for your show. Thank you for having me.
And bye-bye. The next meeting of the Maryland Prescription Drug Affordability Board is June 23rd at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. More information about how to submit comments online and how to listen in to the meeting at the midday page at WIPR.org. And when we return, summertime means summer reading. Two local bookstore owners join us with help in assembling your summer reading list. But before we go to a break, each week here on Midday, it's our practice to read the names of the people who have lost their lives to violence in Baltimore City and to list their names on the Midday webpage. We do so to stand in witness to their untimely deaths and to remember their families and friends in their hour of grief. So far this year, 53 people have been identified as victims of homicide in Baltimore. Police have identified three of the four people who were killed last week. They are Joseph Robinson, age 25, Daquan Little, age 26, and Demetrius File. He was 18 years old. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WIPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.